Okay, day's October 30th, 1991, and I'm with Otis Stobner. All right, now I want you to tell me how you found out about this fiddle and why you bought it.
Oh, boy, was, maybe you should
now,
yeah,
there was a noble man that lived in a log house right down below my father's house. And he played the violin, and we played music together, he and his son and my three brothers and him, for a long time. And he had this violin. He got it from Uncle Penn Vandiver. The reason he got the violin, Uncle Penn was riding an old mule, and it was real muddy and wet, and the mule fell down, and it fell on the violin and broke the scroll on the neck. And so he'd taken it down to Mr. Pierce. He repaired violins and guns and everything, all kind of music instruments. And he repaired the violin, but he swapped Uncle Ben his violin, one of his violins, for this one. So my brother and I, we'd taken our violin down there and swapped it to, when he got this fixed where you could use it, we swapped our violin and gave $15 for this violin. And we kept this violin for, well, till my brother died. He was 21. And at that time, he was about, I was 12 or 13, and he was 2 years older than me. But we had a very good band, and what we did, it was just a country band, you know. And what we did, we played at the picnics, all-night picnics. Back in those days, they had the picnics out, like we had them at Horse Branch and Olayton and Roseanne and different places. It would be like all night. You'd start about 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and you'd play till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd square dance and just and other kind of dances, but mostly square dance. And back at that time, a lot of people get drunk. And everybody had a good time anyway. And of course, that continued until my brother died in 1936.
Well, tell me your brother's name.
Vernon.
Now, was he the only brother you had?
No, Clifford.
Did Clifford play too?
Yeah, Vernon played the violin, and Clifford played the bass fiddle. And I played the mandolin, and there was a Carson Autry played the guitar, and Paul Wilson played the mandolin. I mean, played the five-string guitar, and I played the mandolin.
So that was your band?
That was the band.
What did you all call yourselves?
Well, we didn't really have a name at that time. It was just the band. But later on, it cut down to three of us, and then it was the Three Musketeers.
Oh.
So it's in there on the old violin case. And
well, I noticed when we took pictures and we had the case, it said something on there, but I didn't pay enough attention.
It says Horse Branch. Oh, on one side it says the Three Musketeers, and on the other side of the case it says Horse Branch High School, 1933. That's when my brother graduated.
So actually, you didn't buy this fiddle because it had been pinned. You just bought it because you
No. I had no idea. Well, he told us who it was, but that wasn't the reason we bought the violin.
Could you give me a few more things about William Pierce? He was an instrument repair
yes.
man.
And guns, or that's about all he did. He lived on a little farm, a log house. Just he and his son, Myron Pierce, lived together. And he would always repair everything, guns and everything, but he would always charge a minimum fee in trading and all. He would always have to have a little money, but that's all he did for a living. He didn't farm. They just had little patches here and there, stuff like they did back in those days.
Did he play the...
He played the violin real well.
Because I was listening, I've been indexing all these interviews I've done
mm-hmm.
and put them in the computer. computer, and it's been a good review. And I noticed that James Hines talked about William Pierce a lot.
Yeah.
But didn't really say that much. Mm-hmm. I just knew that he just made mention of him several times as playing an instrument, but I didn't know if he played in a band.
He played the violin, and his Marin played the guitar.
And when these men like Mr. Pierce, when they were playing, were they making their own music up as they were going along, or were they basically
yes, they were. Yeah, they were. They would be tuned, regular violin tunes. You know, we knew when I was a kid, I knew, I guess, 100. You know, when I played the violin. After my brother died, I played a little while. Yeah, I don't know whether you want to get into that now or not. Yeah, but at this time, there was Paul Wilson and Carson Autry and one other, if I can think of his name. Well, there was one other, but we played at this time. Then we were playing for a lot of different places, but there was only three of us in, and then we was called the Three Musketeers.
Well, now when you all played, did you compose your own music, or were you using what other people had already?
No, we just learned the old tunes, you know, all the old tunes, old violin tunes. Both square dance tunes and waltz tunes and all, you know, just an ordinary band, but it was a good band for those days.
Mm-hmm.
And we could play any kind of music, you know.
Were most of these fiddle tunes real old?
Yeah, they all were real old because it was way back. Yeah.
You remember the names?
Oh, Lord. Of course, we still have it. Blossom Special?
Oh, Orange Blossom
Special. Little D and Turkey and Straw and a lot better tunes than that, but I don't know the names of them.
The reason I'm asking you that, there's now a movement in the whole state to talk to people who used to play a lot and get them to name everything they can think of.
I wish I'd have known that. I'd have studied some of them up.
So. Well, sometime we can just work on it later.
Okay.
It'd be nice to be able to. They're trying to compile up to see.
I can see Herman Alvey. I know Herman real, but you know Herman Alvey?
I've heard of him, and I may have met him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been a state championship 3 or 4 different times, and he can really play a violin. And he knows. He plays a lot of the tunes that we used to play, but I don't even know the names of them anymore.
Well, Bob Gates, the state folklorist, is writing a grant to study regional music in Kentucky. And he called me the other day, and I have to write a letter. He was wanting to include Ojai County and Muhlenberg County in with the going along the Ojai River.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him I disagreed.
Oh.
I told him I thought that the Ojai County and Muhlenberg County should be its own region because you've had so many people, and there's still a lot of musicians here, and there were a lot, and it's a real part of this community, more so than in Owensboro or what I've seen up around old Hancock County on up in there. So what I've got to do in the next few days is write a letter of defense and tell him what I think. But if we get the grant, then I'll be working, this will be my region. I mean, I told him, I said, I want to work this region. I don't want you, if I do it, I don't want you putting me somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got 2 or 3 things I'm thinking about here. And another thing, you know, they're wanting to do a play based on this research I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that comes through, the music for it, I'd like it to be able to say we could go back to these tapes and find out what people were playing, maybe get them to play some of them. And if the play comes to be, use the music that the people here were doing rather than trying to get some expert to tell us what tunes were being played.
Yeah, so, well, I can find out because this fellow plays the same tunes we used to play years ago.
Oh, good. You think he'd let us go in there and just tape him?
We could take him.
Okay.
I think he would be willing to do that.
Well, if we tell him why we're doing it, that'd be great.
Oh, he would love to do that.
Okay, well, good. We'll work on that later.
Yeah, okay.
All right, great.
I can get in contact with him and...
Okay.
He and his wife.
So let's see. Now I gotta get back to this fiddle. My mind's wandering. Okay, I know how you got the fiddle. Now, once you all got the fiddle, tell me about the condition of it when you bought it. What was your opinion of it and so forth? And when you bought it?
Well, the scroll had been broke on it, but he had fixed the scroll well enough to put metal keys on it. They screw on with the little screws, you know. And they're metal screws, and that kills the sound of a violin, really. And, so, but we did use it that way as long as we used it. Mm-hmm. And the violin sounded real well, but we made it sound better by removing the back and the shaving out a lot of the, making the back real thin and putting it back together, but you can never tell that.
Now, once you shaved it, then what did that do to the sound? Did it make it higher or lower or deeper?
It made it smoother and deeper. And take a lot of that squeak, you know, that violin doesn't squeak. She's putting a lot of rosin on your bow. And it really has a good sound.
So it took out the squeak. And what did you pay to, how much for it?
$15 and another violin.
Right, and so you swapped?
Swapped and you gave $15 to do. Now then, is later on in years, but I hadn't played the violin. See, yeah, I was building this house, and Herman Alvey, the fellow I'm talking about, was our cleaner man at that time. So I was showing him the violin, and he said, "I'll take it to Louisville and get the scroll fixed where it will hold the old wooden keys. That's what it likes in it now, you know." So he taken it to Louisville and had it fixed, and that was in, I wouldn't have any idea what year, Veda might remember. But it's since we've been living out here, and we've been out here, we came out here in 47. So it was sometime after 47 that they taken and had the keys put in.
And what did that do to it?
They just take the scroll off where he had fixed it, because they knew better what to do than he did, and put it back on and enforced it enough, but you can't tell it looking at it, it's really been off. Well, you can too, till it would hold the wooden keys. The other one, he couldn't fix it strong enough to, when you push the key in, to hold the string into the right height, it wouldn't, they just wouldn't hold. That's the reason he had to put the screws, the old screw type in, you know, the metal ones.
Then, let's see, after you acquired the fiddle, then you all played for, how long did you all play?
For about eight or nine, I'll have to figure out before you put that down. It was, I was either 12 or 13, and we played till my brother got out of high school, and he got out in 33. And after high school, he went to college in Bowling Green, and he also taken it there and played, and he won all the violin contests he ever entered. He could really play a violin. Younger people can play and catch on a lot quicker than older people. And we were all young when we started, and you know, we didn't just learn to play one, we learned to play all the string instruments.
So this would be Vernon?
Vernon. Mm-hmm.
Now, how were these contests set up that he was winning?
They would just have a violin contest. Mm-hmm. And you could come from all over. I could find some of them you won. I seen them not too long ago, but have no idea where they are.
Well, when you come across them, pull them out.
I'll try to find them.
That would be interesting. Well, now, when you all were just starting out to play, how did you get where you were needed to go? Did somebody have a driver's license?
Well, sometimes we would, and sometimes we'd walk, like if it was just Horse Branch and Rosine, Old Layton, well, we'd walk, you know.
And then were you paid for fiddling, or for your
Oh, they passed the hat around.
I see.
And we would, a lot of time, would average as much as $3 a piece a night, for all night. And then, of course, we went to a lot of people's houses. Bill Hatler lived up on the other side of the Penn's place. in a big old house back there, and we would go up to his house. He was I better not tell what he was and everything.
I wouldn't know what he was.
At Bill Houtler's place, he was at a large house, and of course we'd been move everything out of two or three rooms, and people could be in two of the room maybe and dancing in the other room. Always be large crowds. And that would go on until like 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And they would also take up the money. And it would we average about the same. You'd get about $3. And the end of our violin playing, of course, was in 1936 when my brother died. 1936. And after that, there's an old man at Rosine. What was that old Kaysinger's name? Melvin Kaysinger. Melvin Kaysinger was a music teacher. Well, he was a music teacher, and we taking lessons under him, but the lessons didn't do us any good. Anything we'd hear, we could play it by ear anyway.
So he was giving formal note reading?
Yes. But now this was after my brother died. So we played with him a while. There was three of us played with him quite a while, and he wanted to, and we played a lot of different places too, just like the rest of us had. And he wanted to go to Evansville and play on the radio. Now this was Melvin, but he was a nervous type fella. But we went and played a couple of times on the radio at Evansville. I'm afraid to say what it was. It seemed like it was WGBF, but I'm not sure about that. But it was way back in 38 or 9. But it was so far over there we couldn't go over to play. But we could have played long. We just played a couple of times. But it was so far over there, and then we had to. I forgot what kind of an old car it was. We were lucky to get over and back. So we just went two different times.
Model A?
Lord, no, it wasn't a Model A. But that's about all there is about the violin. But I have had this. This violin player wants it real bad. That's Herman Alvin. I had it cleaned over there about 2 years ago, and he wants it in a mandolin boat, but I didn't want to sell either one of them.
No.
So he, but as far as a violin, it's just been a piece. A lot of people to come and look. Tex Atchison, I know, you've heard of him, I know.
Yes.
An old movie star. He has played the fiddle more than anybody else. He's played a lot of different places since we've had it. And Herman Alvey has played it a few places.
Just played it around the area,
locally. Yeah, just did, you know, because it was that violin.
I found a picture of him playing that violin.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I've been working in pictures, trying to get the kids out.
No, that's another thing. At some point, we need to work on Tex Atchison. I'm trying to sketch him together. Mm-hmm. Jody Hall told me he had some things that he used to take notes.
Uh-huh.
Tex would sit around and talk.
Oh, Betty could have all his books if she didn't want them.
He'd give
them.
One
of them.
He was nice books. They were nice books, but I didn't want them.
He was, he drank a lot, and he got a lot of royalty checks from his movies. Lots of them. He was a good movie star. Western movie, and he still drove the plumb up till he died. They'd come in the post office where she worked. But he would get drunk and stay drunk and nearly starve. Men waited to take him up a load of stuff.
One time I'd taken a bunch of Odie's clothes out there to give two old bastards lived out by Mount Pleasant. They just lived. They may have had money, but they just lived real poor, but they were clean. And Tex seen those clothes. He said, "Babe, what are you going to do with these clothes?" I said, "I brought them for Leonard Joe Evernhaven." He said, "Well, could I go through and pick me out some?" And I said, "Well, I don't care at all, Tex." And he found a pair of pants he just loved. It had an insert that made your stomach, you know, kind of like a girdle, I guess you'd say. Is that what they call the insert of a
wide? It's big wide. It would draw you in.
He had the post off them on. He had a pair of suspenders on. He just looked so nifty. They were black. Oh, he was proud to see them clothes. And just think, there, he could have been a millionaire. And taking, using, I mean, wearing other people's old clothes.
I was just an old country boy, but I always bought real clothes. I always wore a tie and a, you know, stiff shirt when I was going with her.
I'd get up the other morning and put a towel on. Well,
going with her, she'd get aggravated. But my mother would always starch them because it's real stiff, you know, and she would undo them. And
that thing's not on, is it?
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
Yeah. Well, she would bend my shirt collar and make it look bad just for me.
For me?
Yeah, she was just as mischievous as she could be.
It's probably
funny and witty, and it wasn't like the other girl. She wasn't like the other girl back then. She was, she played baseball and all that kind of stuff, and that's where I met her, the baseball. I was a pitcher with their team, and her brother was a pitcher. I mean, I was a catcher, and her brother, one of her brothers was a pitcher and a catcher on the team she was with. And that's where we met at the baseball game, when she was 14.
White Diamond. Oh, that's got a good
phrase. Oh. See, I had something else I was going to ask you about that, too. Oh, tell me about the rattlesnake tail. The rattlesnake.
Well, we got the violin. Now, I don't know what was in there when Uncle Penn had the violin or not, but it had a rattlesnake rattler in it. And I asked him what that was in there for, and he said it was to make it, give it a better sound. But now that's what Mr. Pierce said it was in there for. But I'm not sure who put it in there. But we'd taken it out when we'd taken the back off. And I don't guess they ever put it back in. We should have, but we didn't.
Hmm. Was it common for people to put those rattlesnake?
Yeah, that was off of, you know, there's a rattler for each year of the snake is age, see. And I forget how many rattlers. It was an old snake, and a large rattler. It was just long, but inch and a half long. But I have no idea what ever went with that.
Now, when you all bought the, at some point we'll need to Xerox that certificate too. We need to take that with us when we go down to Nashville, but we won't take the original. We'll just take us a. We'll make a.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Myron, that was, is it Myron Pierce?
Mm-hmm.
That was William Pierce's son.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And he's the one who gave you the certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What happened with the certificate? Boyce Taylor, postmaster, rolls in at this time. That was years ago, and Boyce fixed it up because everybody knew, and then we had to get Marin later on to go out there and sign it in front of Boyce Taylor. That was before Boyce died. Boyce has been in the hospital a lot. And,
so really, Boyce was your witness to say it was really true, that this really is Penn's bill.
Yeah, and Marin Pierce was really the witness, because that was his father that got from him.
About how long was it that how long did you have the fiddle? It was several years, wasn't it, before you had that certificate?
I don't know. It'll tell on a certificate when I had it made.
Yeah, I believe that certificate was done in 62. I believe it was. So we married for one, you had the violin then. And
oh, I had
the
violin.
We got the idea it might be worth some money.
William said it would be worth money someday, but if we sold the violin, we'd have to give him half of the profit. But we didn't buy it to sell.
Right.
But he paid $15 for it, didn't he?
We should have got all that down.
Oh, okay. Do you mind telling on tape about when you were going to give it to Monroe? I can restrict it, but
no.
I want to keep it.
I don't care about it.
Can you tell that again?
Speed Monroe was Bill's brother. I guess he wasn't his oldest brother, but anyway, he was one of his brothers. And when he died, of course, we go to all funerals, everybody we ever know. When he died, we went to the funeral home. And Bill was there. And that was when I was going to give him the old violin. Because it was Uncle's. And I started talking to him about it, and he wasn't even interested. So I just forgot about it. And at that time, I thought, well, I'd put it in the museum sometimes after we got done with it older. But I didn't have any idea about ever going to have one here or one at Owensboro. I think that's where it really ought to go. You know, Owensboro. If it goes in one, and I guess that's what I'll do with it. Either if I could sell it, I would. But if for that reason only, I would sell it for something else.
Yeah. Well, so he didn't show any interest at all in the
film? Not any interest at all.
I wonder why. That seems so
odd. He didn't even want to talk about it. I don't know why.
Well, I just won't go on tape what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. Well, let me turn it off.